August 3rd, 2014, Sunday morning service. Today, let's look at the Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. As you know, the work of priest is to stand between man and God and offer sacrifices for the sins of people. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus was the high priest and he paid for all the sins of the people. We cannot cleanse ourselves, but Jesus did it for us. It also talks about the tabernacle, and the Revelation 13:6 says that we are the tabernacle of God if we are to do God's will. It says, "And his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven." That is talking about the Christians who dwell in heaven, which is referred as the tabernacle. We are eternally redeemed from our sins because Jesus paid it all for our eternal redemption. Of course, we should not be sinning willfully just because Jesus already paid the price. But if we commit sins against our will, or even unknowingly, we know that Jesus has already forgiven us. Verse 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling of unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? They used to use animal blood to cleanse people's sin. So if the animal blood was good enough for cleansing our sins, how much better and more powerful the blood of Son of God could be. That's what this verse is saying. The blood is to free us from the dead work, which leads us to eternal death. And we need to be cleansed from those dead work daily. I also looked up the word cleanse your conscience. And Matthew 8:1 also uses this very word. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Leprosy is like sin. When a person with leprosy comes, people would yell so that others would move away from his path, since it is contagious. This is a disease which eats up your skin and flesh. This can also be interpreted as a sin which eats up our lives inside of us. But here, Jesus said, "I will, be thou clean." And this is the same word that is used in Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, for cleansing. The blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse us, and the blood we receive from the communion is also the blood of Jesus. The blood also symbolizes the Holy Spirit, and if we are in the blood, we are in communion with the Holy Spirit. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, our sins, like leprosy, can be cleansed. That's what the book of Hebrews says. I myself received this benefit of the blood big time. Just because I am a pastor does not mean that I don't sin. When people provoke me, I get upset, and I also get tempted too. But what I do every morning, before breakfast and everything else, is to pray, and be in communion with the Holy Spirit, and be covered by the blood. And I also pray for those who persecute me, because the Bible says so. I tell God that although I am hurt by these people, I don't want these people to go to hell, and I want these people to come to repentance and get right with God. And the more I do it, the more I feel that cleansing power of the blood. Not only about the forgiving people, but in every aspect of my life. But many people are too busy to pray because they get distracted by this and that. and they're only distractions and deceptions. You may be serving at your church, but if you're not cleansed by the blood, and if you don't have a communion with the Holy Spirit, and just doing the work, that is all useless. You need to be in communion with the Holy Spirit first. Verse 15. And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. The word covenant also means will, which is a will you leave for your family when you die. The word mediator is the Jesus Christ between man and God. We may be too sinful to come to God, but Jesus is in the middle so that we can come to God. When you buy or rent an apartment from the landlord, you always have to go through a real estate agent as a mediator. Because of the agent, I now live where I live, which once used to belong to someone else and then lived by someone else. The mediator made it possible for me to live in this place now. The covenant or a will takes its effect only after the person's death. And the verse says, the new covenant by means of death took its effect. Verse 16 and 17. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity to be the death of the testator. For the testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. So the new will take effect after the death of Christ. So the new will take effect after the death of Christ. Whatever written on the will happens, including the promise of distribution of inheritance. The will is always honored by the survived. Same thing with the will or covenant of God. It took its effect by his death and by his blood, which acts as a signature of the contract. Even in our human society, many amazing things actually happen when it is written on the will. I remember hearing a story of some rich person who died and left her inheritance to her dog. It sounded unbelievable, but that's the kind of power a will has upon someone's death. And one thing we need to remember is that the contract took its effect because of Jesus' death. And it was not a mere signature. And my signature does not mean anything, but it was signed by the blood of Jesus. Lately, I had some business affair to take care, and I've been to downtown Tokyo several times, and then whenever I was there, I would walk around, and I walked by Yasukuni Shrine, and I went inside of the Yasukuni Shrine. I know many Christians are strict about going to a shrine, and they tell you not to bow down and all that stuff, which is true. But regardless of your faith, I went in because that's where you see all the belongings of the Japanese soldiers from the World War II are displayed. And they even have submarine missiles where a person can fit inside of the capsule and can navigate the missile into the enemy's ship with the person still inside. Whether the war was right or wrong, those items made me think of the people who actually sacrificed their lives to protect this nation from the attack from the United States. It really made me think about the weight of life. Although this is different, Christ also died for us. Now we need to understand the weight of life Jesus had as a person too. And I have been serving the Lord since I was young, but I do feel grateful that he really died for me. And that's why I serve the Lord. And this is not something the people forced me to do. So I want you to understand the sacrifice he made and the value of life which was lost for you. And because of his death, we have the eternal inheritance, as the verse 15 says. Those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. This inheritance originally did not belong to us. It is like Esau and Jacob. The birthright did not belong to Jacob, but he ended up receiving the blessing. And that is the foreshadow of us Christians. We end up receiving the inheritance which originally did not belong to us. So do not give up your inheritance willingly like Esau did. Jesus himself said, what good is it to gain the whole world but lose your life? So please make sure to receive what is freely given to you. Since our life is short, if we could obtain the promise of eternal life in our limited time on earth, I think our journey is worth it. Verse 18 to 21, therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you." Then likewise he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. The precept, the contract, is a scripture. The Bible has many promises or the contract. The contract for the eternal life, promise of a nation and a righteousness, and etc., etc. And none of the contracts will take its effect without the blood. The Bible is an open book, so everyone can read it, including some of the renowned cult leaders in Japan. They use some quotes from the Bible and they say in their books, Moses said this and Jesus said that. But whatever they said, even about Jesus, has no blood. The blood is the Holy Spirit. The Word of God alone is not enough. Our work alone is not enough. We need to have the blood of Jesus, which is the work of the Holy Spirit. The blood of Jesus is so essential. Without the blood of Jesus, without the Holy Spirit, if we just read the Word of God, you might miss the point. For example, it says in the Bible that we have to have a Feast of Tabernacle. And if you try to follow just the letter without the Spirit, you would just go to the mountain to collect the logs and trees and branches to build the shack. And you would look at the shack you built and then think, God likes to live in the shack. But if you understand the meaning of it with the help of the Spirit, I have told you several times before, but I think this is about the underground church. And when we understand that with the help of the Holy Spirit, we receive more revelation about God's heart, and then we could do more of His will. So even if you are Christian, it is very possible to interpret the Bible from a human perspective, and that's how you get off the track. And that's why we need the blood, so that we know what is in His heart. Without the blood, all your understanding and all your work is in vain. There is no contract without the blood, and the people need to be sprinkled with the blood.